your agency's payroll has an image problem, a belief that federal employees are overpaid when compared to the private sector can both help you and hurt you when you're trying to recruit. Bob Tobias is director of key executive leadership programs at American University. Bob, it's always good to have you on the program. Now, you pointed me to some research by the Heritage Foundation that says that federal employees are paid 57% more than people in the private sector. Now, by all the numbers that I've ever seen, that's a tremendous outlier, and I'm not sure that there are many people besides Heritage that believe that that's the case. But it does, I think, draw the broader question here, which is nobody seems to be able to wrap their arms around some kind of a survey or study on which most people can at least accept, even if they don't agree with the results. Is that even necessary at this point to try to sort out the issue of pay in the federal government and how it corresponds to the private sector, Bob?
I do think so. At one end of the spectrum, you have the Heritage Foundation, then you have the Congressional Budget Office sort of in the middle, and then the Federal Employee Pay Council on the other end. And I think it does make a difference about what federal employees are paid and how their pay is calculated, because it sets an expectation. If I constantly feel that I'm underpaid as a federal employee, I'm going to have a different attitude toward my job than if I feel that I'm paid appropriately. And right now, since there is no agreement, I as a federal employee or someone seeking federal employment have a hard time really evaluating my value.
Is this an issue of strictly politics? Because whenever some kind of study comes out, whoever doesn't agree with it has a long list of questions about problems with the methodologies involved. And those questions, those points are often, you know, legitimate. I'm not casting aspersions on the quality of those questions or problems with the methodology, but what that gets to is this idea that nobody really wants to look at this issue the same way. Director Barry tried to do this when he was at OPM, wasn't able to get it done in the time that he was there. OPM directors in the past number of administrations have looked at this issue. Janice LaChance looked at it when she was there in the Clinton administration, and a couple of the directors for the Bush administration looked at this. It's not like people haven't tried, Bob.
Well, the gold standard would be to compare specific jobs in the federal sector with specific jobs in the private sector. Now, the Labor Department did that for many years early on in the pay comparability process. And then the section that did those surveys were cut. It's very expensive to do that kind of work over the large number of jobs that exist in the federal sector. They were cut. So the Federal Employee Pay Council, which uses that data, has had to extrapolate the results over a period of time, decreasing their credibility. So if someone wanted to pay for an accurate survey, a gold standard, it could be done.
The idea of that, spending money on that, seems like not very likely given the budget environment we're in right now, though.
I couldn't agree more.
The efficacy of that, I'm just thinking about how you'd go about doing that. And I can see your point about trying to compare. I mean, it really would be a tremendous amount of analytical power, a tremendous amount of data collection. You would really have to analyze the jobs before you went about the whole idea of assigning the pay comparability to them, wouldn't you?
Yes. And that has been done. It would have to be updated. I mean, the federal employee classification system would be pretty good basis for comparing private sector jobs. And, you know, larger employers have position descriptions and classification systems, so it could be done. Most of the work would be in data collection, not data analysis, because if you follow that approach, it's pretty straightforward calculation once you've gathered the data. It's gathering the data that's so expensive, Francis.
Bob Tobias is director of key executive leadership programs at American University. How much of this issue, the pay comparability issue, is tied to the pay structure issue and what we do about the general schedule, and how much of it is independent, do you think, Bob?
Well, I think they're very much interrelated. you know, classification is supposed to be based on some on your value to the organization, and then pay is linked to classification. But we, as we know, when we can't get the pay, we jigger the classification system to pay people more money. So you have a bad classification system and a pay system that nobody believes in.
And that's where we really are at this point, it seems to me. I have been looking for a while, and I can't find anybody at this point that defends the GS system, at least as it sits today. There's a landscape of opinion about whether you tweak it a little bit, you make minor changes, or you scrap the whole thing and start over. But I can't identify anybody that says, yeah, this is great, we should keep doing that.
I don't know anybody who says that.
The pay category, or the pay comparability issue, is then, given what we've talked about, not going to go away anytime soon. How do I, short of the grade creep issue that you just talked about, work around that as a leader when I'm trying to recruit or trying to keep people that are valuable to me, and so forth?
You can't sell the federal government based on pay. You have to sell the federal government based on public service and a contribution to public service and an involvement in something larger than myself. Over 80% of the federal employees identify that as the reason that they come to the federal government. And I think what the federal government has to do is leverage that predilection for increase productivity, because it can't be based on pay.
That kind of begs a chicken or egg question, though, I think. I mean, do the people who work for the federal government stay because they don't make as much money, but they don't care because they do it for the service element of it, or is it the other way around?
Well, I think if you look at the best places to look, best places to work in the federal government, and the question about how I value the work that I do, it's off the charts. It's really high. So people really do value the work that they do.
Yeah, and I'm not debating that, but I wonder if there's any way to find out if there are people who have this perception federal employees don't make as much as they can make in the private sector. So even though their number one choice might be money, 1A might be service, and if they had a perception that they were at least closer, if there was some data to indicate that they were closer, it might be easier to recruit the kinds of people that agencies want to work for.
I think that is particularly true in a scarce market like IT engineers, and particularly right now, security engineers. It's a very tight market, and the private sector is paying a lot more money for that kind of talent than the federal government will ever pay. So the best are not coming to the federal government.
So my fear, Bob, is that based on our conversation, it's possible to gather this information, and it's possible to do it in a way that people could agree on the methodology, even if they don't like the results. But it sounds like the likelihood of that happening is not real high right now.
I don't think so. I think it's the issue, you know, would have to be legislation. I'm not so sure that that Congress would consider this issue. Or fund the Department of Labor to gather the information, even if they agreed that this was the gold standard.
Bob, always great to get your insight. Thanks for being on today.
Thank you very much, Francis.